Hello there, Mike Canary here. I'm the producer of Gulf Coast Life. Normally on Thursdays, we focus on the local art scene, but with most of it on hold and with the entire WGCU radio team working from home, for now we're going to start broadcasting episodes of the WGCU podcast Three Song Stories, which I make with Richard Chinqui and Tara Callaghan. This week, we're hearkening back to episode 72, which originally aired on July 26th of last year. Our guest was Mr. Robert Green. He's the official campus greeter at Florida Gulf Coast University, and a man who strives in every moment to put positivity into the world and bring people together. Hope you enjoy. Now the show.
One, two, three.
Welcome to Three Song Stories, the podcast that connects you to our guests using the songs that have touched their lives. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. Our guest today is Robert William Green, Jr. Mr. Green graduated from Green Oaks High School in Shreveport, Louisiana, with a full football scholarship to Morris Brown College in Atlanta. He transferred and received a bachelor's degree in religious studies from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and a master's degree in theology from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. Came to Florida in 2003 and taught 7th grade world geography at Bonita Springs Middle School before coming to Florida Gulf Coast University in 2005 as parking services representative and then welcome center representative starting in 2011. If you've ever been to FGCU, Mr. Green is the campus greeter who's usually in the information booth who enthusiastically greets everyone who enters campus, and I do mean everyone. And if you ever stop to get a parking permit or directions, he is sure to tell you that you are his friend. I have waved to him or stopped to say hi during my time away from radio when I needed a parking pass many times over the years, and we're just big fans of his big heart and outgoing spirit here at Three Song Stories, so let's get to his song stories. Hey there, Mr. Green.
Well, hello, sir. How you doing?
I am so happy to be in the studio with you, man. I've been driving past you and waving to you for 20 years.
Yes, sir.
15
yes,
years,
sir. Anyway. And I love it. I love it, man.
All right. Okay, let's get right to this. So what was the musical background of your childhood?
I didn't have much. It was Paul Harvey, radio show.
Okay.
And gospel music and a little bit more of Motown.
Okay.
Because I lived in the ghetto then, and you could hear Motown songs all day long.
Was there music being played on turntables around you? Was it all radio playing? Was it church music, a little bit of all of that? What was going on?
A little bit of all of that. The community had a radio station, KOKA.
And this was where? This was in Shreveport,
Louisiana.
Yeah. Gotcha.
In the 60s. And we listened to that, and we had church music on Sundays on the radio. And Wednesday nights at church, so that was pretty much it. I never had a record. I had a transistor once.
Oh, yeah, a little transistor radio?
Yes, sir. And it played out on me, but that was it.
What about, like, people playing music on instruments? Was there any of that going around you? You were in Louisiana. It seems like they must have a little bit of spirit of music there.
Yes, sir. When I was little, we used to go down the alleys. You know, the houses are built on brick stakes up high for the water flow. And, yeah, we heard live bands outside.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to go under the house or in the alley. And you could hear jazz music and everything. Oh, man, it was great. But then you hear, you know, mom or dad or somebody calling you, and you had to.
Had to go back inside.
Had to go back inside.
If you have to go back as far as you can remember, is there an early musical memory that pops into your head?
Wow. Wow. That would be James Brown. And Papa's Got a Brand New Band. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
What is the memory? Can you picture how you heard it, where you heard it, what it reminds you back to?
Well, we were living then next door to a grocery store. We called them bodegas then. They were not supermarkets, it's just grocery stores. And it turned into a bar. And it was there that I heard James Brown. Papa's got a brand new bag. And that was it. It was a song that just brought you alive, right? Brought the community alive.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. How old would you have been around then, you think?
I was 7 then.
Okay.
And that's when I heard it.
Was that music?
Second grade.
Is that music that would have been approved by your folks, or was that contrabandish?
Well, no, you could hear it, but you couldn't bring it in the house. So it was that had that limitation to it.
Understood. Do you remember the first music you owned, a record or something?
No. I didn't buy records.
Oh no,
we weren't allowed to buy record or bring it in the house. We didn't have a stereo. We didn't have a record player.
Right.
My friends.
What about later? You know, and got into high school and college and stuff like that.
Well, no. Then I was into school and church, football, basketball, and I just heard music. I never really engaged into singing. In fact, in the seventh grade, I had a music appreciation class band, and the band instructor gave me a tuba.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, man, I'm not going to be playing around no big tuba around here. So I went in and got into home economics.
Oh, really? Would you like to do a little sewing, a little pie baking?
Well, yes, the baking part is good because it's food, man. I love food. but I, what do you call it? I followed a girl into the cooking class.
I did that too.
Well, you know you're my friend, but I learned how to cook better than they did.
I did that in seventh grade, and the reason I said baked any pies is because she was my cooking partner, and we were taking an apple pie out of the oven, and I was distracted, and we dropped it.
You know you're my friend.
Robert, were there any other boys in the class? Because you had a class full of girls.
Because back then it was probably
No, I was the only one. And that was good for me.
Good odds.
Yes, sir.
You played football in high school because you got a scholarship, right?
Yes, sir.
What was your place on the football team? What position do you play?
I played wide receiver.
Okay.
And I was pretty fast and 170 pounds. And I could catch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So we Benjamin and I, the quarterback and I, were number one in passing and receiving yards for quite a while.
Hmm.
And then I got I had a hamstring pull, and that dropped us down.
Did your football team, did the school have a big band? You mentioned they tried to get you to play a tuba. Did they have much of a marching band or a musical presence at the football games?
Yes, Green Oaks did, but this was in what we call junior high.
Okay, yeah.
School.
Middle school, they call it these days.
That's
down
when,
here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's when they gave me the tuba in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
But no, we had a band, and it was a good band. It was a good band. So we, back in the, 1967 in junior high school, there was a whole lot of fights during the football games.
Right.
Because they traveled to the other schools.
Right.
And they finally eliminated that, and you had to play at the fairgrounds or some neutral place.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Okay, well, it is time to move on to your first song and to either hear a story or listen to the song and then tell the story. You get to pick.
I'll tell the story first.
Okay. What do you got?
Well, it's Change Is Gonna Come, and this is 1963, third grade. Now, this is the summer before I went to school in September. In August, I went to an all-white church on Sunday, and I was refused admission. The gentleman was nice. He asked me my name. And back then, everyone knew my family, the Greens or the Jacksons. Now, I'm the firstborn daughter of Ed and Alberta Jackson.
Right. So you're the firstborn of two known families.
Yes, sir.
Roger.
Yes, sir. So he asked me my name. I told him. And then he said, well, why don't you go to a church where people look like you? And I said, well, there's none near me. You're the nearest church to my house. And he said, okay, well, you just find one and go to it. And I said, yes, sir. He was kind. I said, yes, sir. That happened then. And then in, let's see, about 3 weeks later, the barber, see, I used to work, shine shoes. Oh, man, I had my shoe shine. So I cleaned up the barber shop and did all of that. So I told him about my experience that Sunday. And he said, well, you can come to my church. Well, okay, this is late August. And to get to his church, you had to get on 3 buses. So I'm traveling from my house to the first bus stop, and 3 white cops stopped me, put me against a wall, and said the N-word and did all of that. And then I went on to church. And my parents were 20, 27 at the time. So Sam Cooke was coming to town in October 1963. And there was a bunch. We didn't have telephone. I mean, we didn't have telephones back then, so everyone communicated.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that was a highlight, his coming. Well, he was going to Holiday Inn North, and that's where my aunt worked as a head short cook.
Okay.
And he was denied admission to the hotel. So that was the first experience. And in November 22nd, 19, John F. Kennedy died. So those experiences there, this song, Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, is very relevant and personal to me. So
did you remember hearing it back then?
Yes, only later.
Right, right. But it connects you back to those, yes, series of events.
Yes, sir. It brought me back firsthand to those and kept them in my memory.
Well, let's listen to it together.
Yes, sir.
All right. This is A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke, released in 1963.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
What are you feeling when you're listening to that?
Sad, depressed, and encouraged. At the same time, there's a lot of work been going on to make this country a better. And I'm a United States veteran. I know that veterans made it better. And I don't see why we can't treat one another with mutual respect. I come from a family of ministers and educators, and we've done our best. And we will continue to do that. So I studied it when I was in college, and I found out that we don't know how to repeal laws because when Nat Turner killed all of those white people back in 1800s, there was a fear. And I talked to my my psychologist friends and those neurosurgeons, and the dominant culture still has a fear because they mistreated people so poorly. And but the heart doesn't deal with fear. It deals with love, man. So we're allowing our brain, our intellect to, and the brain's primary function is to stay alive. That's why we have that what you call it, fight or flight mentality. So if we can somehow allow the heart to override the brain, I think we'll be all right.
Is that what we all feel when we drive past you and
yes, sir.
See you?
That is exactly. You feel all heart there, baby, because, you know, it doesn't – my experiences are so diverse and with people and attitudes and behaviors that I just open up. And when people come up to – well, you see me waving, number one, or saying hello when I'm not busy. But when you come up, man, it's just a lively energy. It's like – you know, you got to have a gut feeling, a heart feeling when you say hello. Now, because I got degrees in theology, I know that when Adam met Eve, he didn't say hello. He said, "You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," which is, it's a disgrace, no one, because you're not recognizing another human being. And it doesn't allow the other human being to exchange histories and cultures. For instance, if he had said, "Hello, how are you?" then that greeting and the question would allow an exchange of histories, cultures, and experiences, and you wouldn't have known who the person is. So that's what I do. When you come up, it's, "Hello, how are you?" And I mean it because – you know, if I didn't have other people in the world, I wouldn't know that I'm a person. There's a thing, they call it something, where if you, Tarzan, for example.
Okay.
If you raise among apes, you're going to think you're an ape,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
So if we somehow allow our
heart. Like imprinting?
Yes, that's it. Imprinting.
He's our extra brain.
Yes. You know you're my friend. That's it. It's imprinting. That's what the professionals call it. That's it.
Now, do you see that coming back from people a lot? Because I imagine that, you know, by and large, people are used to pulling up to a you know, a guard hut or a gate hut or a welcome, you know, building like that.
Yeah, just
like
getting
that.
Sort of a very formal.
Yeah. And then I know that, you know, I mean – for people who haven't been to the university here and met you and seen you, you know, they might imagine that maybe you're just – maybe you smile or that you, like, wave a little. But, like, you really do come out with, like, a big grin and a welcoming attitude and posture, and it's very apparent that what you're saying here is how you approach people. Do you see people responding in kind usually to that?
Yes. That's affirmative. That's because now they're not inhibited by their perceptions.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, this man is for real.
Yeah.
And that leads me to the next song. But yeah.
We'll get there in a second.
He's for real. He's honest. He's genuine. He's really saying hello. And, you know, there's no script.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what your background or how you feeling that day. Some people come up and they really have a bad day at home, at work, or traveling, just driving. So it's not. When you properly greet a person, you can relieve them of their stress or their discomforting.
Right. I will say for sure that I remember the first time I came through and met you and felt that, and then came in here and said, "Who's the guy?" And then, "Oh, you haven't met him yet." And so, you know,
yes,
so
sir.
So cheers to what you are and do there.
And I believe it's God's sin. So. My grandmother taught us all to treat people like you want to be treated. Mm. Now, she's going on to heaven, so I don't want her coming back whooping me if I don't do my job.
Do you ever listen to music there in the booth? I've always kind of wondered what you do in there when you're not smiling.
And yes.
Well, you're probably smiling even when there's not someone there.
That's right. Yes, I listen to jazz.
Oh, yeah?
Classic jazz.
Hmm. Like on a CD player in there, or what's
No, it's on the computer. People on there.
Pull up Pandora.
Yeah, that's it. Pull up Pandora. And it's Paul Hardcastle.
Okay. You know, and now I know.
And all cool and clean and all the jazz, you know.
Oh, are you a singer?
No.
No?
I can't sing. I couldn't dance.
Okay, that's another question. No dance.
And I hurt my knee in college football this first year. So.
Is that why you wound up transferring?
Yes. Yes. And so, no, I can't even dance now. And I definitely can't sing.
So you probably, it's fair to say, have never done karaoke.
That's true. That's true. That's very, very true.
Have you seen much live music in your life?
No.
No?
No. Let's see. I saw in the military at the Air Force Academy, I believe I saw the jazz trumpeter. What's his name? Some tip of my tongue. But several other guys went to see him, and I think that's about it. It's from New Orleans. I know his name. I can't remember it, though.
Richard, New Orleans, trumpeter.
With Connie Jones?
No.
No. The Fort Myers Film Festival led with a movie, I think, that stars look up Fort Myers Film Festival opening night. Okay. I run a film festival. We had a jazz great from New Orleans who came and there was a movie about him. Leroy Jones.
No.
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 Oh, I thought that was gonna be him.
See, I have to go through the alphabet when I forget because I had a brain operation in 1988, and they told me that the later on, the older I get, the worse it gets. So my memory, I have to say A, B, C.
Wait for something to trigger?
Yes. Huh. Yes. And I believe it starts with a C. And I'll think of it.
Okay. Well, if it pops back up, we'll get there. Right. Do you buy music at all?
No.
Records? So that's not a thing?
Never have.
Never have?
Never have.
Is it Cootie Williams?
No.
Okay.
Well, there's a C.
Yeah.
Doc Cheatham.
More later than.
More recent?
More recent than Louis Armstrong.
More recent than Louis Armstrong.
Well, while he's still looking, I don't know if you ever go downtown Fort Myers, but they on Thursday nights, there is a jazz quartet that plays at a little bar down there. It's a free show. They play every Thursday night, and all four of them are world-class players. And I'm not saying one of them played with the Saturday Night Live band for 20 years. One of them played with Harry Connick Jr.'s band for 20 years, and they just get up there and play. The other one's the professor of jazz studies here at FGCU, Brandon Robertson.
Yeah.
He plays down there every Thursday night. You should go down there and check it out.
Look out. You know you're my friend. Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on to song number two.
Number two, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing.
And why is it?
Well, I went downtown Shreveport, Louisiana when I was 13 that summer. And I saw this young girl coming out of Zales Jewelry.
I wish our listeners could see your face.
Man, oh, man. She was fresh, clean, spoke proper, dressed. Oh, man. She had on a blue dress and light colored blouse. And she was just sweet and angelic. It's not lustful. She was just angelic. And then I spoke to her. I said, hello, how y'all doing? And I knew she wasn't from the South. She was from the North because they're more proper. But she was free enough to engage in a conversation and that type of thing. So they were in a rush because their parents were going to pick them up at another location downtown. So I didn't have enough time to communicate with them. And, man, I had on my Converse All-Star sneakers. I had on my Levi Strauss jeans, nice belt, polo. I know I look good, but she looked good, too. So she was interested. And that was it. I said hello. And I said, well, where are you from? Because she sounded different. And she said, Philadelphia. And I said, man. I need to go to Philadelphia. But I never got a chance to speak to her again.
Really?
That's it. And that was, I believe, the love of my life, man. It was just clean. It was just, it was there. And I think God has something to do with that, too. So I go home. I was living with my grandmother at that time. And I was moping around.
Yeah.
My grandmother said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, Grandma, I met this girl downtown, and she's from Philadelphia, and I won't see her again. And I remember what my grandmother said. She said, you got to meet some more. Well, boy, did I meet more later. But that one stayed in my mind.
Clearly. here we are.
All the time. And
did you even get her name?
Yes. Her name was Deborah, like the Bible, like the judge. Deborah in the Old Testament. Hmm. That's all I remember.
Hmm.
And so that feeling let me know that love is real. It can be real. And it doesn't have to have all these negative attachments to it. You know, it's just pure in itself. That's what I'm trying to, and that's what I felt. That's what I felt about her. And so, you know, later on in life, my dad died when I was 15, and my great grandfather died. 73, right before I graduated. So I know that, you know how you could love your mother, your grandfather, your dad, all different, sort of, but the underlining theme is really love, you know. And with her, with the girl I met downtown, there was no experience other than that one. It was not like she tried to mate I tried to make it one. It was just there.
Yeah.
So
where's this song come into that story?
Well, ain't nothing like the real thing, because I've been to California. I got 20 years old. I got a scholarship to California. And, man, there, everything. I mean, girls were approaching me, taking me out. And now, man, it's like another world. So
I wish listeners could see your face now, too.
I had to slow down, man. Things were moving so fast. And there wasn't any discrimination. You know, white girls were coming, you know, and all. Huh. And I'm going like, wow, this is really, really wow. So after a while, you know, you get caught up and running, ripping and running. It's what my grandmother used to say, don't be ripping and running, you know, find some stability. So after that, I knew what the experience was when I felt in 1968. That's when that record came out. Marvin Gaye, they had a lot of hits, but that one came out when I was 13, and I remember that. And every time I hear it, I remember the experience I had in downtown Shreveport.
Hmm.
Because it was the same place where this white church was at the top of Texas Avenue.
The same church from the...
Yes, right. Absolutely, that I got rejected from. So it was down on the east side. If you can imagine, the Red River that separates Oklahoma and Texas, it comes over into Louisiana right after the city of Shreveport and then connects with the Mississippi and goes down to New Orleans. Well, I was born by a river, the Red River, in Charity Hospital, Shreveport, in 1955. So I met her downtown at Zales, and the church experience was there too. So it all, it's just different times of the year that the releases came out.
Well, let's listen to it, and you can go back there one more time. And who knows, maybe Deborah will hear this podcast.
Oh, one other thing. You know, I sent a love letter to Philadelphia.
Just sent it to Philadelphia?
With the main zip code.
Care of dumb luck.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, well, this is Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing by Marvin Gaye and Tammy, is it Terrell or
Terrell?
Tammy Terrell, released in 1968 as the B-side of the single Little Old Boy, Little Old Girl.
Now, this one's for you, Deborah.
When was the last time you listened to it?
Wow, this afternoon. I called my brother down in Texas, and everybody's doing well. And he was listening to something, and I said, man, I need to be there. We listen to old songs when I go to his house. And I said, man, I'm finna pop in. Ain't nothing like the real thing. And then I told him I was coming over here. So,
does he know the Deborah story?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did that love letter say?
Well, I miss you. It said a whole lot, man.
Had you ever written a love letter prior to that?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
I didn't figure.
That was the first one. And, of course, I started it out with, hello. I trust that this letter finds you in good health and pleasant surrounding. And, I just hooked it to the Bible. I just said, and I don't know what happened. You know, the post office gets these things, and they probably put it in someplace.
But yeah.
I was just hoping, as you would put a bottle, a nail, a letter in a bottle.
Yeah, and throw it out to sea.
Yeah, that eventually it would come back. But it stayed with me, so.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how that works with memories and music and all that stuff?
Yes, sir.
That, here we are and there you are. And now when I hear that song next time, I'm going to be there with you and here with you and all those things.
See, that's what I mean by it must be some divine quality to this, because you and I did not self-create ourselves. There's something else going on. And yeah. I think it's angelic. I think it's magical.
Hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Welcome.
That's one of my favorite. We've had a lot of song stories on this show, and that's that one right there is a good one. So what did you do in order to get to these three songs, like in your head? Or what was – like how did you work through the process of choosing just three?
I compare the songs. See, the songs relate to something else, and they can relate to even a greater something else. So that's how I just eliminated. See, some songs are just right there, and that's it. Well, you eliminate those.
Right.
And the ones that have a greater meaning, a greater significance to it, then that's how I came up with those three. And lo and behold, it's my experience. It's my life. That's what I really did. So that's how it was a symbol. And I never will forget
him. You know, it says you don't really buy much music or anything.
No.
So I have questions like your favorite album. Do you have any favorite albums, or that's not even – music's never gone that far into your concrete world?
No. There are a lot of songs that I like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, man. Different.
For instance?
Well, for instance, what's this, Sailing?
Christopher Cross?
Yes, that's right. That's right, man.
Sailing, take me away.
That's right. See? That's right. I want the Lord. I want to go. I want to fly. And that goes, the second one would be, well, another one would be, the Commodores.
Okay.
Just to be close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, and then you got some other songs, such as I don't know, man. When I hear them, I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I can.
Are you listening to music when you're driving around in the car?
Oh yes, oh yes.
What stations are you on then?
I'm on 101.9 Mel and Scott in the morning, driving to work. Takes me about 30 minutes to get here. So
where do you live? Do you live south or north?
North.
Okay.
Fort Myers.
Oh, you live in North Fort Myers?
Well, no.
You live in Fort Myers.
In Fort Myers.
Are you
so that's Gator Country. That's a country station.
Yes, it is. There's only two musics around, brother, and that's country and jazz. I grew up with jazz, so, you know, country was right there. I grew up in the country, all city Louisiana, man, right around Kettle Lake.
And so we've been talking about a lot of jazz and then a lot of R&B. What are some like big country songs for you, or artists?
Well, I have to hear them first, but
it don't work that way.
I don't remember. Oh man, what's the guy that made the movie number one country? Black Hat. They love. Movie, what's his name? He's the number one.
Johnny Cash?
No.
You're out of my genre here, so you're closer than I am.
You call his name, and I'll know what it is. But I can listen to country songs and then go back. So
there are so many wearing black hats here that I'm searching.
But he's been around a while. He's had more than Strait. What's his name? Johnny Strait? His last name is Strait, Strait.
Oh, there are people pulling their hair out, I bet, listening to this right now because Mike and I know so little about country.
Even that rings a bell with me.
A, B, C, George Strait.
George Strait. That's what it is.
That's it.
Are you familiar, if you live in Fort Myers, are you familiar with 93.3 The Tiger?
Yes.
Okay, because I live right near downtown and I love that station. Okay. That's one of the stations that I listen to because they play everything. They're the only station I can find that plays songs that I don't know all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
they
play songs. It's like, wow, I can tell what era it's from, but it's never hit my ears before. And every other radio station just wants to play what they think you want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And in the afternoons, it's, what's his name? It's Intelligence for Your Life. 106.3.
Richard's on it, I can see.
I'm reading about George Strait. he's prolific. This is like 30 albums or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Tesh.
Oh, John Tesh.
John Tesh is for life.
Okay. I didn't know that was the name of his show, but I'm certainly familiar with him.
Yes, sir.
Huh.
So, JPT is Sunny 106.3.
That's it.
Do you listen to music around the house?
No.
No?
No.
Do you listen to talk radio at all ever?
No.
No?
No.
Not your thing?
No.
Hmm.
I don't even have a a record player or anything.
Don't have a way to do it?
No.
Okay, it is time to move on to your third song.
All right. God is trying to tell you something, and that's church, old gospel song. At age 13, just before going to live with my grandmother, I had a religious experience. And, you know, the bright white lights, and I saw what I believed to be a face of God. And so I know I was, first of all, when I got there, I went and I laid across the bed. It was made up. I was just tired. Mm-hmm. And I just fell asleep, I guess. And there it was. And so I was probably in a deep sleep is what some of my professional people tell me. And I saw that and I said, well, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Because I was raised in church and all my folks were church-going folks. So that's what I did. And that's how I know that we can love one another, but we have to realize that it's a heart thing and not a brain thing. Now, I went from there, from Louisiana to California, to the military, out. Yeah, my master's degree, and been all over. Had a brain operation in 88, everything. So he's led me here. And that's, and you know, you need a special type of person to be at the front of an organization. Mm-hmm. Now, I was at the front of the Air Force Academy at the South Gate, saluting and waving everyone coming in, mm-hmm. airmen, civilians.
So all the way back then?
Yeah, all the way back then. Huh. And so I know God has a big influence in my life and been directing me. And that's how I know he's been trying to tell me something.
And that's why this song is this song, because it's called that.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so God can speak to us if we listen and open our hearts and we can hear. We can do the right thing, man. I mean, there's a lot of, the saying is cliche, do the right thing. But, you know, God is righteousness and we can do it. And I know we can. I got a great faith. And that's why I'm working hard to try and get a mutual respect policy on this campus. Because I know we can mutually respect them. Because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it can be done.
Right. This is God is Trying to Tell You Something from the soundtrack to The Color Purple, released in 1982.
If I were you, I would say yes.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Speak.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
I love you, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Save my soul.
Speak.
Oh, Father,
I don't have
no
song.
does that make you feel? Because it looked like it made you feel all sorts of things.
Yes,
you went
sir.
Through several different places, for as far as I could tell.
It's just soul searching. And, you know, in I believe it's 1 Samuel, where Eli, the priest in the Bible, Samuel is his apprentice. And Samuel heard voices. They were going to sleep. And Samuel heard voices calling to him, Samuel, Samuel. So he went to Eli. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And he did that 3 times. And the 3rd time, Eli, the priest, told him, next time you call, just say, yea, Lord, speak, Lord. And that's the origin of the song. Mm. So we have to listen to God when he's speaking to us. And yea, Lord, here I am. Speak, Lord. Talk to me. So then we, and those are the changes I was experiencing while I was looking at it. You know, sometimes we get busy and doing nothing really. And, in our lives, because we're trying to, I don't know, keep up with the Joneses. We're trying to do certain things to make livelihood instead of concentrating on life itself. And so when we start to concentrate on life itself, we start to appreciate one another a whole lot better, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was feeling after all these years, you know, even from youth that I can remember. My grandmother made ice cream out of the snow when I was about 3 or 4 in Louisiana. And it rarely ever snows in Louisiana.
Yeah.
All right. And we had fresh cow milk and sugar cane, everything. And it was good. But nowadays you can't. The rain is yellow. It's green or something, right? It was raining just the other day. And I'm going like, no, this is not pure rain. We had, we could catch rainwater and drink it, but you can't do that anymore. You can't. So those type of things right there, I know it's a scientific environmental, but if we start to listen to God, we will treat the environment even better. You know, we got into so much production and that we lost the value of things. So that is what I was going through when I was listening to it.
That song, you know, it goes back obviously way further than the movie The Color Purple.
Yes,
did you listen to that song? Were you hearing that song growing up? Is that a song?
Yes, sir.
Then did you see the movie The Color Purple when it came out?
Yes,
and
sir.
So what was that like to have that show up there and to tie that all together?
I started crying, man. Tears rolled down my eyes when I heard the song, because the lady in the movie was going down the wrong path for a long time, separated from her family. And her father was a minister at the church in the movie, Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this comparison to the lady that lost her 2 kids and they went to Africa and all that. But she was singing at the, what we call a Jew joint, all right, blues or something. And she heard the choir in the church start to sing. Well, that's the song she was singing when she was a child. And when she heard it, she couldn't sing the blues anymore. She started walking toward the church and singing it. And the movie was so great, man, that her singing the gospel song overrode the lady in the church singing the gospel song. So the church was, that was revolutionary. When you allow God to overcome all these other things, we can do the right thing.
This might sound like a strange question, but it's what we ask all our guests toward the end of the show. But what would your 14 or 13-year-old self, who you were then, think about who you are today?
You think he's a great person, really. because you're going through a whole lot of adversity, challenges, and setbacks, man. I mean, I had a brain. I could have, you know, I had a traffic accident. I couldn't have been here.
Yeah.
And somehow the saving grace allowed me to be here, even today. So that 13-year-old would say, keep on going, keep on doing what you're doing, because you did it when I was 13. When we were 13, you did it, Mr. Green, you did it. So just keep on doing it. So that gives me encouragement. And even when I hear these songs and see people come up, they're all frustrated, angry, and mad, and then they turn to cheer in seconds. And I know that because I got a clock on my computer.
Uh-huh.
And it takes less than 12 seconds. Actually, it takes less. It's 2.5 seconds for those people to change their whole behavior when they come up, because God has given me some kind of spirit or something to do what I'm doing. And he's made a career out of it.
Yeah.
When I think back, I was waving back in rural Louisiana, man, from a country road, dirt road, to folks driving by on a real road. And then I'm going to the Air Force Academy. I'm waving there, and I'm still doing it right today.
Hmm. And you're going to keep on doing it?
I'm going to keep on doing it, brother. I'm not stopping, because I think there's a – if you stop, I think I'll spiritually die.
Hmm. Well, we hope you keep doing it.
Yes, sir.
For a very long time.
Absolutely.
Richard raising his hand.
Yeah, I wanted to say before we let you go that I think, Robert, that you are absolutely like a positive force here on campus. And today, you know, when you walked in, you saw me, you waved, you said, hello, my friend. And then you asked me how Zoe was.
Right.
And, you know, we've known each other across maybe, what would you say, a dozen,
yes,
30-second, you know, increments.
Yes, sir.
Over a decade.
That's
and
true.
And my daughter's only alive for like half of those. So really, over 3 minutes, mm-hmm, you remembered my daughter and her name and immediately drew it up. And your ability to do that and to be genuine in a way that is like uncanny,
yes, sir,
is special.
Right,
and
thank you.
Like, I am so happy that you're right up the street every day.
Well, you know you're my friend.
I know.
Absolutely.
You know you're my friend, too.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that is all the time we have. Do you have any final thoughts to leave us with?
Just mutually respect one another and keep that at the forefront. And we can do it if we allow our hearts to do it.
Well, we are all for that, too. So thank you so much.
And you're welcome, sir.
We make Three Song Stories at the WGCU Studios in Fort Myers on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University. Mike Canary is the host and co-creator. Richard Chinqui is the co-creator and producer. Tara Callaghan is our online content producer. Chris Duffus is our executive producer. And our theme song was made by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. Our parting tune this week comes from episode 19, Ernesto Lasso de la Vega.
Y al sur una montaña de verde.
Think of a farmer who has been struggling with everything, and so he's hoping for this, because sometimes we take it so for granted, mm-hmm, you know, all these crops that comes out of it, but somebody's actually sweating out there to,
right,
do with that. And then, so this is almost like an hymn of hope for all those farmers who have been working so hard. And what he's hoping is that as easy as the rain comes down, well, they will be collecting coffee,
right,
for us to drink, and so easy how we wish that will happen.
I hope it will rain coffee.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's it called?
This is called Ojalá que llueve, Café en el Campo.
Keep listening.
That was episode 72 of the WGCU podcast, Three Song Stories, Biography Through Music.
New episodes release every Friday morning and have been for more than 2 years now. You can find the show at threesongstories.org or on iTunes, Spotify, or pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to like Three Song Stories on Facebook and Instagram. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. I'm Mike Kinnairy. Keep listening.